Fred Film Radio, Seattle International Film Festival.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Seattle International Film Festival. I'm here with Effie Brown. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you too.
Effie Brown is a film producer, TV producer, media content producer, a producer, basically.
I do. I execute content. I make it happen. That's what I do. Exactly. And, you got vision, I'll make it happen.
Right. You are here because you're a part, one of the juries of the festival, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about your content.
Oh, okay. I know. Can you tell? I can't keep a secret. It's a problem. Okay, go ahead.
So we want to talk about your job. And let's start from the very beginning. When did you realize that you wanted to be a film producer?
Okay, I knew that I wanted to be in film. So I grew up in Jersey, New Jersey, and I'm an Army brat, right? So I was always happiest in front of the TV and in a movie theater, but I didn't know about producing. I just saw what was in front of me. So I was like, oh, I want to be an actor. And my parents were mortified because they were like, oh, my God, you're like a little dark-skinned chocolate black girl. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't a lot. I'm a little older. So this was like before Oprah really. You know what I mean? Like, Oprah wasn't really around. We just had like maybe Grace Jones someplace, you know, here and there, right?
And, yeah, Grace Jones is everything. From another planet,
I know, but I really feel like that's the next movie I want to make in a real way. I love her. But I didn't know. And then I went to film school, right? I got into Loyola Marymount on theater scholarships because all I knew was what was in front. And then it became clear. They were like, no. There's somebody who puts all this together. And I'm already bossy. Like, I'm an Army brat, right? So I like chain of command. I'm already bossy. I'm always like a plan of attack. You know, like a whole, like, I like it. And they're like, that's a producer. And I was like, say what now? And literally, and that's it. That's when I knew. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that this was even possible, which is why now, in my, you know, middle years, I want to make sure that people know, like, not even just like kids, but like some people who are mid-career, to be like, yo, everyone thinks it's always a director or an actor, but nobody realized, like, no, there's somebody that has to like put all these pieces together, a producer, you know, but there's also like 80 to like 100 jobs on making a movie. There's a lot of people it takes to mount a movie, and there could, one of those jobs could be for you, you know?
And the job of a producer is putting the movie together under many different levels and areas, let's call it. What's the most challenging part for you?
You know, I'm getting over the most. I mean, I'm grateful. I'm super grateful. I've been in this business for 20-something years, right? And I came up through the ranks. So I came up as a line producer, right? And a line producer is someone that does the budget, and the line items of the budget have to be held, right? And that's what I do. So money oftentimes dictates creative. So that's how I got my training. So I knew how to, I'm not terribly politically correct, so like you might get a few letters, sorry. But like, I think that being a woman, like, we know how to stretch a dollar, right? You know, and that's how I grew up. You know, remember growing up as a kid, like, we would cut coupons. Like, we would know how to make shit work, right? Stuff work, right? And so, I thought, can I curse? I felt bad.
Feel free to do it. No problem.
I was like, ugh. Anyway, so I came up as a line producer. And then from there, it was difficult for me to maneuver into creative producing, although line producing is creative because money dictates creative, right? So it took me a moment because when I came up, I was the director of development for Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. Like I had this whole creative side and had to break down a script and working with like James, like really powerful, fabulous directors, but I also knew how to build a machine is what I like to call it. So I guess the hardest thing was transitioning from people seeing me as a nuts and bolts girl to being a full service producer. And what's interesting that like since the market crashed, like in 2008, you remember like I call it the darkness, yes. The dark years, like where everything,
for everybody,
right? But it hit. I was like, oh my God, I always like get on a cross. I'm like, I'm being persecuted, but I wasn't because I always could go back to doing budgets and schedule, and actually I have a skill, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where I had a marketable skill. And so being what like took, but oftentimes people tried to shame me with, actually wound up saving me because I knew how to last. And now, you know, being a creative producer, like, no one can pull anything over on me, right?
Because so you know.
I know how to build the machine, right? So. People are like, it's only going to cost, like, you know, $10 million. And I'm like, or it could cost three, right? You know what I mean? I'm like, and we could get $3 million, first-time filmmaker who's ever done it, you know what I mean? Rather than, like, that $10 million that you think, right? You know what I mean? Or vice versa, someone being like, it's only going to cost $250,000. And I'm like, really? After you murder everybody, you know what I mean? For the long, like, is that like one long day? Like, what movie are you reading? You know? So anyway, so that's like, that was the most challenging part, was transitioning. But as for the thing that's most difficult now, and like probably gets into a different conversation, is resources, you know? Like, everyone's always talking about this inclusivity and diversity, like women and people of color and all of that. Yeah. And you need to have your own agency and like tell your stories. But at the end of the day, in this business, it's not show charity, it's show business.
Exactly.
And this business is run off of, you know, in America, you know, like, it's money, it's green, right? Like, our money is green. So, like, that's the color that people really care about. And what's unfortunate is that women and people of color, and I happen to be both, you know what I mean? Like, thanks God. You know, it's hard to get those resources. And I've done, like, 20-something movies, been critically acclaimed, but I'm still having to, I call it shuck and jive, looking for money.
But even if you can prove that you're productive, that you bring home the results, this is not enough.
100%. And that's so funny. Like, I'm just doing, and I talk about this. Like, I think what hopefully protects me is that I talk about it. Is that like, I'm doing a movie now, first time filmmaker. Like, every first time filmmaker I've worked with has killed it. Right? It's like, went on to do like a Netflix series or a big television, like, everyone's doing really well, you know, and we win Sundance, we win awards, like, we kill it, right? But every time they're always like, because I always work usually with women, people of color, LGBTQX, or someone with disabilities in front of and behind the scenes, like, that's been my jam. And they're always like, and I'm like, you guys said the same thing with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and this and that. And like, when do I stop? And then I realize it's never going to stop, because people, and I have to get over that. Like, that's my own personal thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to get over.
But why do you think it's never going to stop? Why it's never going to be enough?
I think it's human nature in a weird way. I think that there's going to, until we get our own money, like, I'm looking to raise my own money for my company, mm-hmm. where I'm like, until we have leverage, which is like, until I'm able, like, the conversation would be completely different if I was like, okay, I'm doing a $3 million film. I'm going to put in $1 million of my own company's money. I'm looking to like Netflix, or I'm looking to like AGC. I'm looking to these people to co-fi with me. That's a different conversation than somebody who's just going off of and America's racist. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people, we talk, like, we're like, I love America. I'm an army brat. I'm a super patriot. But I also know that, like, America is like a genocidal, racist, like, crazy place. You know what I mean? We have Trump, and I won't get into that, but like, it's true.
No.
Do you know what I mean? But like, it's true. Like, it's a crazy, it's a crazy place. I love it, but I recognize. And people with money like to keep money. People with status quo, like, if you're in power, I think people don't necessarily want to share power, because inherently, like, they feel it's less for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's less, and you start going human nature. And like, and I think that, like, at the end of the day, I don't know if, like, this, if I was a woman or women of color were in charge, if it would be any different. Mm. You know what I mean? I think it's human nature. You know, of being like, until you're secure with yourself, and to be like, there's room for everybody, let's share. But like, nah, but it's a business, and that's what I'm raising money. So hopefully next time we speak, I'll be like, I'm rich, I got all this money raised, I'm making
care.
All kinds of movies. Yeah, I hope it's a different story.
Listen, you produced like Real Women Have Curves, Stranger Inside, Dear White People, which was huge, and you started, I read, with But I Am a Cheerleader.
It was my favorite movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah, God.
It's one of my favorite movies.
This was one of the key movies for the LGBT communities back in the 90s.
I know, but don't you judge me. Don't you date me. Don't date me.
Well, if I date you, I'm dating me.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. But that's one of, like, that was a great movie.
How was working on that one?
have to, like, that's when I knew that, like, what I was doing was blessed. You know what I mean? I really, Jamie Babbitt is the director, and I remember her, and I'm line producing, right? I didn't produce it. I was a line, I did the heavy lifting, and line producing is like a, ugh, it's a hard, hard job, especially on independent film. But Jamie Babbitt came to me and told me the story of, like, her parents put her in one of those camps, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And she was like, and it was really horrible, you know, but I want to be able to share this and make it funny so that people can learn from it and not feel like off-put. And I was like, yeah. And then Andrea Sperling, who was her, Jamie's girlfriend at the time and a producer in her own right, brought me on. Like, I have to tell you, the LGBTQX community, mm-hmm. like, I wouldn't have been working if it weren't for them. They are the ones that gave me the chance. Like, they really did. Like, nobody was looking to hire, like,
it's really amazing that mm-hmm. such an issue is still in movies now.
Of the camps that...
Like, oh, 100%. You know what I mean? Like, 100% of those camps. Like, it's crazy. Like, and I didn't... And that's what I love about films, too. Like, I remember Jamie looking at me, because on the surface, like, Jamie Babbitt is a beautiful... like super feminine, like lovely, you know, lovely, like you would, like, striking woman. And then I'm like, oh, and I immediately judge, and I'm like, oh, you had like a posh life, like everything's great for you, like, you know, my life, you know. And she's all like, let me tell you something. And I was like, what happened? And that's when I was like, wow, film is a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. Like, you can educate as you entertain.
Absolutely.
100%. And that's when, and then from there I started working with them. I love that movie. And it was one of the best, like, I made like 20, like, I've been either line producer or produced like 20-something movies. And that's one of my favorite movies. Like, people are like, what are, like, as experiences and joy of making a movie, mm-hmm. that is one of them. And I think I still work with, like, a lot of the same people from that movie 20-something years ago. Yeah. Like, that, we knew we were doing something. Like, and I keep bragging on the movie. I mean, I was a worker amongst workers mm-hmm. on that movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't write it. I didn't produce it. I didn't do anything like that. I was like, make the money work. And it was just really a privilege to be a part of it. And seeing kids or adults today, maybe 10 years younger, to be like, I didn't, like, you know what I mean? How it still affects them today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And being like a cult film and being like, oh. I love that. I love it.
Listen, mm-hmm. you were saying earlier that now you are a creative producer.
Mm-hmm.
So you choose your stories.
Yes.
You make them happen. So
yes.
How much creative are you?
Pretty creative now. I mean, like, it definitely, I think I was trying to hit on before, a lot of times people like to put you in a box, right? So if you're known as being like a worker amongst workers, for you to have creative vision or to be like, no, really, I have some creative ideas, people don't necessarily like to move you into that. Mm-hmm. So until you're aggressively, and that's always been my problem of, like, I'm like a sort of like a aggressive woman, you know what I mean? Like, I'm ballsy, you know? I try to do it with a knife.
Let's say pushy.
Pushy, you know what I mean? Like, I do it with a smile, you know, but it's, like, what am I talking about? I went off. I'm like, am I? I forgot my chain of thought. I totally forgot my chain of thought. What was
so
I saying?
How much you're creative now.
Right. So that's what I, you know, it's hard to make that transition, but I love it because I realize that now that I've been in this business for so long, I'm not a young and hungry, right? Whereas it's hard for me sometimes to get financial resources. I do see the need, and people are free to come to me that have their stories that need to be told. Like, I can execute a vision, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and being able to see, like, my big thing is, like, right now for myself, I'm only doing genre, thriller, action, sci-fi, horror, but through the lens of women, people of color, LGBTQX, and people with disabilities in front of and behind the scenes. Because I personally, like, my soapbox is one, I want to change the face of Hollywood, that there's more stories that can be told and they should look more representative of America, you know what I mean, or of the world. Like, that's just period of what it should be. And I feel that, like, I can, it needs to happen. And I can make it, I can execute it, right?
I can make
it happen. And being able, and then coming up through development, like, I used to be the director of development for Tim Burton. I know how to, like, to break apart scripts, and I've been a D-girl, you know what I mean, for, like, a while. And also coming up as a line producer, I know what it will take resource-wise to make that vision, right? So, and I also like, so, and I also feel that you can change. I mean, this is where it gets sappy, but like, you can change the world through movies. You can change the way through, like, how people think through, you know, through a film. Like, I remember how affected I was by watching Alien, right?
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. And I, people are like, Alien, not like Citizen Kane or Do the Right Thing. And I go, no. I remember seeing Alien and being a woman was in charge. It was a multicultural crew. She was like, her boss overrode her, even though the boss was wrong and caused all, and nobody saved her but her. Mm-hmm. And the black guy got to live almost to the end. Like, you know what I mean? Like, back in the day, like, we would always, like, those are things that we can actually make a difference, and people can start to see themselves in a different way. And I always say, you know, if I can change, if I can tell you a story or show you a film that changes the way that conversation or the way that you feel about quote unquote the other, someone doesn't look like you or sound like you or come from your same, but you're still rooting for them at the end of this movie, then I'm like, then my job is done. Because I do feel that that translates less into like, it's harder for you to kill me, mm-hmm. rape me, put me in jail, to discriminate me, if you somehow already have seen me as a friend and someone like you. Yeah. And the way that's easy to do that is like a story. And not like, you know, like, and I love like genre, thriller, mm-hmm. action, sci-fi, horror. Because if you're like, get out of the house, get out of the house. Like, you don't care if they're Asian. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're like, oh my God. We become very like, it's universal. I'm rambling. I talk a lot.
No,
I told you, sorry.
No, you talk. You are basically answering half of my questions.
Sorry, no.
Without me asking them. Listen, but always talking about the how easy or difficult, and it seems that it's not very easy still, being a woman in Hollywood. The Me Too movement changed something for you?
You know, okay, and this is where
I'm not popular. It was a big deal. I mean, mm-hmm. It is a big deal.
It is a big deal. Like, and this is where I get a little unpopular. But here's the thing. Black women and brown women have been saying this for years. Years. And nobody gave a shit. It was until a white woman that, like, oh my God, their precious, you know, the precious sensibility, all of a sudden the world goes on fire. And there's a thing that's going on now, the intersectionality of, like, white feminism and people of color feminism. It's not, like, the intersectionality is what I like to usually talk more about, because the Me Too and Time's Up moment is like how many, anyway, I can go on and on about it. And it's just now I think that my, you know, my white sisters are like, ooh, right. You know what I mean? Like, oh, right. It's not like we didn't, you know what I mean? Like, jump up on the scene and all of a sudden, and like, and also letting like other people's voices being heard, like, you know, I think strides are being made. But I'm also going to call a thing what it is, mm-hmm. to be like, we've been here, we've been saying it, but because like you, like white women, like so, which also in a way deems like they're more seen as more precious than women, other women of color, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, and everyone's sort of having that moment of like, well, like they're sort of trapped on a pedestal, but I'm like, I have very, obviously you can tell, I have very strong feelings about that.
But this change, your work. I mean,
here's the thing, what it changed, right? Which I think is interesting, is that I think there's certain things of like, this is where I say, and this is going to sound a little controversial, but like, I think that, and it upsets me in a way, that like if a woman is like, feels uncomfortable on set from a man, you know what I mean, or something, or the man says something or does something, that like before, like, you know, I don't know, like an inappropriate, you know, whatever, like it's still wrong, don't get it twisted, that man will get fired. But how many times have we heard that man call somebody a nigger or like something else? Nothing. And our women, white women, say these things and nothing happened. Like, and that's where we start, like I start going, somebody will get fired for patting a woman on the ass before they're calling someone a nigger or not having them get a job or, you know what I mean? Or like discriminate against. So
I mean,
for me, like that's where I'm like,
with like LGBT people too.
100%. Do you know what I mean? And to be like, well, fuck, you know what I mean? For me, I'm like, wow, man. Like, so, but I do say like, I want, you know, the Me Too movement, I'm happy. I'm grateful. It should be. I'm bummed how it came apart and how it came about, like where it's like, really? Like I almost go, when it drives me crazy, and this is where I get like slightly unpopular. Remember like the Golden Globes, like all the stars took, you know, a woman of color, right? You know what I mean? Did you see them there this year?
No.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment of tokenism, and a moment of whatever, but, like, you know, and that's what drives me. And they, but also, like, I love the Gina Davis Institute, where they're still talking about, you know, how women, we still haven't shifted, but the things that are shifting, it's more, you know, white women, you know? Is that interesting? And then to be, and then also people being like, well, diversity, white women are diverse. And I'm like, really? White women? I was like, you consider that diverse?
Just look at
you know what I mean? You know, and that's where, but like, that's where we, I think there's a more of a conversation about the intersectionality, you know, of that. And I don't know, I don't think I have it all together. I definitely have strong feelings about it, but I don't know if my feelings are actually based on something that's correct. Mm-hmm. It just, as being black and a woman, like, I'm like, you know, it's like, I like, no one wants to be a part. I call it the oppression Olympics, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be like, well, I, we have it worse than you, or you have it worse. Like, that's a losing battle, right? Nobody wants to do that.
Not a competition.
It's not a competition, exactly. And then to be like, wow, like, that's how they, like, for me, I call it like them colonizing our minds. You know what I mean? Of being like, we're starting to compete about, like, who's oppressed more. Or, like, you know what I mean? And be like, how messed up is
doesn't,
that?
I mean, it doesn't lean to anything.
It doesn't lead to anything, which is why, like, I had to do, like, I took last year down, because I, these things have really been weighing on me, you know, like, I get asked to do talks and stuff, like, especially the Project Green, like, people, like, trot me out to talk about certain things, and I was just like, I gotta, nobody wants to hear me complain about it, what are you gonna do about it? And that's when I was like, the only way I can do something is to actually have my own, like, resources so that I can help execute a vision. And to actually, instead of like, well, if you guys aren't hiring women of color, I'll hire them. And that's what I've been doing ever since. Like, but I'm a cheerleader, by the way. If you look at the crew, like, we were like Asian, black, white, LGBT. Like, we had, it looked like America. You know what I mean? Like, I've been doing that since the 90s.
And it looks, and now it's all weird of a sudden, that sounds weird.
Stop,
you know?
It. It's like, really, it drives me crazy. And that's the other thing, too. Like, I'm hiring inclusively. Like, young people come to me like, I need a list. I want to hire inclusive. And I was like, I've been hiring inclusive since my first job in 1998.
Yeah, and then it should be a, like, normal really? Thing, not just something to be praised for, you know. Listen, one question about when you work on different media, how is your approach, professionally speaking? I mean, you're creative producer for a film or for a TV show.
A television series,
or for a media, whatever.
You know what's so interesting? There really isn't any difference. I mean, maybe I don't understand. Like, I feel like everything is the story, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's a feature script, you have to make sure. Like, everything is the is a story, which is the base, no matter what. Like, you can always, like, I can figure out the resources of something, but if you have a weak story, you got nowhere to go. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, the story will tell you what it wants to be. I've had a story before where I was like, oh, this is a movie, it's a movie, it's a movie. And then to be like, nah, babe, like, that's a too, you've had like those really dense movies where like stuff like you can't wrap it up. It feels like, ugh, like you're like walking up. It's like, because that's supposed to be a series or a limited series. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have like, you know, like, something where you're like, that's a short film, it's not a television series. like that's 20 minutes, and that's really that's the best you're going to get out of that. And like right now, which is funny, like I'm writing myself, and I'm have this idea that I had where I realize it's not short form content, it's not a television series, it's not a film, it's a novel. And I was like, ugh. And which is super upsetting, because I'm like, ugh. Like, who knows how to write a novel? You know what I mean? So, like, but that's, like, that's the idea that I have to get out.
So, basically, you are telling your producer self is telling your writer self.
100%.
Honey, this is not, like, working.
And you know what I'm saying? The producer side of myself is mean. Like, I talk to, like, my other, like, writer and, like, my director. And they're like, you're mean. I'm like, I'm not mean. I don't mean to be mean. They're like, you hurt their feelings. And, like, I hurt my own feelings.
You know, writers are always sensitive.
Yeah, exactly. Very sensitive. You know what I mean? And, like, the writer and me, I was like, and it was like, and then I was like, ugh, like a, you know, talking like Sybil, like talking like I'm this and that, whatever. But yeah, the story will tell you what it's supposed to be.
So, which is the next project?
Well, I'm
the one you can talk about.
The one I can talk about, I'm actually getting ready to start shooting it. It's called We Real Cool. And I found it at Sundance Ignite Lab. Mm-hmm. Her name is Melissa Murray. It's a black female action movie, sort of a big homage, a big homage to The Warriors. Remember Walter Hill's movie?
Yes, of course.
You know what I mean? Which is everything.
Everybody
which
knows.
Is everything. Actually, they don't. That's dating
ourselves.
The children don't know. So, like, yeah, literally. Like, she's my director's 28, and it's like, I found this movie called The Warriors, and I'm like, I will punch you in the face. You know what I mean? Like, that's a movie that I grew up in, right? Like, I love that movie. But we're getting ready to do that movie, and we're shooting it in New York. It's low budget, but, like, it's, you know, young black girls having to save themselves as they make their way back home.
Oh,
I love it. You know what I mean? Like, and it's an action movie, but it's about, like, it has heart and a message, but, like, at the end of the day, somebody could be like, I don't want to think that hard. I just want to see this. And be
but you know,
I
think that the good thing about genre films is that you can have the two layers of storytelling, you know?
Exactly.
The entertainment one and the serious one, the message.
Exactly.
The political, social one.
Exactly.
And then everybody can see what everyone wants to see.
100%. And if you have a really well-crafted, and this girl really, Melissa Murray, really wrote a wonderful script, like really wonderful, like it works on all of those levels.
So I hope the next time we're going to meet, we can talk about some awards.
Yes, exactly. Commas and zeros. I want to have lots of commas and zeros in the thing. I want to be like, oh, remember when I was poor and trying to get resources for my movies?
We're going to be, and I hope it's going to be very soon.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Effie Brown for having been with us. I'm Angela Cherby from the Seattle International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.